I don't know how heavy is your heart this morning, how heavy is your mind this morning, but I truly believe that there is no work too hard for Him. In faith, we can receive from Him if we steal for His power, because His presence is moving in this very place. Father, we believe it. We believe we are in your presence at this very moment. And that's all we need. Your presence, so you can speak to our hearts, to reveal a new truth that we have to hear this morning. That is a special message that you have for us. How wonderful to come and listen to it in your presence. We thank you for your word this morning, for what you prepare for our hearts. Father, we come tired. We come with heavy loads. But we come to your presence to find peace and security and love and grace in Jesus Christ. We pray all this. Amen. Well, this morning's story, Jacob, he is on the run. And let me give you a little bit of the background of the story of what's going on. Jacob is on the run because he took something that wasn't his. He took his brother's blessing. He took his place. He tricked his father in order to take a blessing that wasn't his. Now his brother Esau was so mad that he was looking for him. He was after him. And he was after him to kill him if he could. So it was a lot of fear in Jacob's heart. He was running with anxiety. He was hopeless. He had nothing. And let me tell you something here. Jacob, at this moment, he wasn't really, really, really a man of God. He wasn't really having a really strong faith life. That was his reality. When I finished high school, and after done my first year of college, I joined the military for a few years. And while I was there, I met a soldier. His name was Brian. Brian was given permission to go home for a weekend. But he happened to be with the wrong group of people this weekend. And somehow he got involved in a robbery. He was so afraid that he never came back to the base. He was on the run. He was on the run. So anyways, officials were looking for him. And a few months later, they got him. They brought him back. And he was sentenced to several years in prison. While he was there, I used to go every week to visit Brian. I would go there and spend 45 minutes, 1 hour, just talking to him. And he didn't want to talk to anyone. He was living in a really bitter life. But every time that I had a chance, I'll say, Brian, there is hope in Jesus. You're feeling guilty for what you did. But let me tell you, Brian, Jesus can change your life. Jesus can transform your life. But he had a really hard, stone heart. And he will even tell me, you know what? You can say that as many times as you want, and I don't care about your Jesus. I don't need him. I don't want him. So I did it for close to 2 years. And after that term, I finished my service, and I was out of there, and I never seen Brian again. Jacob was on the run again. He was facing the consequences of his actions. He had no family at this moment, so he becomes a wanderer. Now, in the place that he is now, night comes, and now he has no tent, no pillow, and he's feeling very guilty for what happened. Jacob is at his most vulnerable. Maybe sometimes we feel like we are carrying fear and we are on the run. We are tired. We feel alone. We feel like we're running in circles, not reaching our destination. We feel like we're walking in this life and we don't have a clear vision of what we want or what we need. A vision to get better at something, perhaps. Maybe a vision to fix things with someone else. Maybe the vision to do more exercise or eat more healthy. Maybe just a vision to get closer to Jesus or to get involved with church. You name it. Or sometimes we have that vision, but it's blurry. It's not very clear. Or we know it's there, but we are not doing too much to follow it. That was Jacob's situation at this moment. He had no vision, no hope, not a clear map or a plan of what to do next, but just keep on the run. Just run for your life. However, as night comes on, he lay down to sleep, if he could sleep. And while he was sleeping, he had a vision. Now while he's dreaming, he's finally having a vision. And there is a ladder. And there are angels coming up and down, bringing good news. We don't know, we don't have a clear map of what the vision was, apart from what we can read in the scripture. But what we can know by reading this scripture, as the God up in the heavens to start a communication between him and man. It was not Jacob, the one who started this communication. It was not Jacob, the one who said, "Lord, I need you." It was God, the one who up in the heavens and said, "Here, Jacob. Do you want to talk to me? Here I am. Are you tired? Here I am. Fear? Here I am. Hungry? Here I am for you." So Jacob can see in his vision that there is also reconciliation between God and man. Remember, Jacob was feeling very guilty for what he had done. Can you imagine for a second? He stole the blessing that was for his brother and he was on the run. Can you imagine how was he possibly feeling? "I failed my family," perhaps he was thinking. "Fail my friends. I'm nothing. But God is telling him on his vision, "No, no, no, Jacob, don't feel guilty. Because if you come to me, there is reconciliation. And I am starting this relationship of reconciliation between you and me. Jacob had done nothing to start this communication with God. Not only that, my friends, not only that, but in his vision, he says that God came and stood right beside him. It was not that God was on the other side of the lake. It was not that God was on the other side of the stadium. It was not that God was on the other side of the field. He was right next to him. And perhaps he was in this position saying, Jacob, you have nothing to worry about because I love you, because I care for you, because I have a plan for you, because that I promise to your father and to your grandfather, it will happen. And let me tell you, Jacob, this is a reminder that I will fulfill this in your life. Isn't that wonderful? This is one of those moments when you have to say, amen. I'm going to say that again. This is one of those moments when you have to say, amen. Amen. Yes, believe it. Because he has a plan for you and for me. And right at this very moment, we pray since the beginning of this meeting. And we sung songs of his presence. And you better believe that his presence is right with you. He is 1 second away from you. And he has an arm over you, telling you, George, Pat, Michael, Sandra, just put your name in there. I'm here with you. What is your need this morning? What is it that you need this morning? What are your fears? What are you tired of? And let me remind you that I will fulfill my promises in you. That's what the Lord is saying this morning as we are in his presence. You know what? After this experience, Jacob became a spiritual man. He became a spiritual person. And one thing that sticks out to me is his exclamation. Surely, no doubt, surely God is in this place. Isn't that wonderful? He's not thinking, what is that? Was that a nightmare? Was it just a dream? What happened? Was it maybe that I ate too much poutine last night? No. He wasn't thinking about that. He said, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is a Scarborough Citadel this morning. Not only that, brothers and sisters, the presence of the God, of the Lord, is here to stay with you and with me. And the presence of the Lord is to go with you wherever you go, so we can serve and bring healing and love and hope to this community, to our families, to the people we serve here. The presence of the Lord is all we need. Jacob found the presence of God somewhere when he wasn't looking for it and where he wasn't looking for it. Unexpectedly. I was having a conversation with someone this week. And I asked her, how are you today? And almost in tears, she told me, I'm lonely. I am lonely. I have no one. And I said, what do you mean I have no one? She said, no, I live by myself. I have no family. I have no friends. I said, you know what? You have a family here. And all of us here are your friends. But more important than that, the presence of the Lord is with you. Even in that empty place where you live, it's not empty. The Lord is here. The Lord is there with you all the time. She believed that, and she left this place with joy, believing that. And I bet that in her heart she was saying, I can't wait to get home to enjoy His presence. We have to believe that. Even in those difficult moments, like Jacob, when he was running for his life. In our journey, sometimes we are looking for the presence of God. And we do all the time as Christians, as believers. But let me encourage you this morning. Don't look for it. It is wherever you are. Let me encourage you to recognize the presence of God. To declare His presence among you. To recognize that He is faithful, as He is, and that He is with you. Then you can say as Jacob, surely God is in this place. God is in this place. A couple of years after I finished my military service, I was in the bus. And this one young boy got on the bus. And he asked the driver to put the volume down and to give him permission to share his testimony. This is a public transportation bus, okay? And then he starts saying his testimony. And as he was speaking, I say, I know this guy. And he starts speaking of how God transformed his life. And he said how in one very small cell, he felt the presence of God for the first time, and that changed his life forever. And as he was passing, he looked at me and he said, do you remember me? And I say, I do remember you. And he said, that Jesus Christ that you spoke about to me, He transformed my life. I've never believed you. And I never thought that all of the many times that you told me that His presence was there with me. And I felt it. And I know it's real. And now I go from place to place, wherever I can, to tell people about Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? It is wonderful. It is wonderful. Jacob said at the end of verse 10, at the beginning of verse 10, when he said, certainly or surely God is in this place, he named that place Bethel, which means house of God. And somehow we think that the house of the Lord is a church. And yes, it is indeed. But let me tell you, you can have your own Bethel in your house, in your workplace, while you drive, while you go for a walk. You can say, surely the presence of the Lord is here, and this is Bethel. Are you running? Are you on the run? Are you tired? Do you need God's intervention in your life in any ways? I think we all do. I think it is time to recognize His presence. Say, Lord, here we are. We know you started this communication and reconciliation relationship. And now we want to feel your presence in a special way so that we can serve you, so that we can follow you. We're going to sing together. And as we sing, this place is open here. You can come and claim the presence of the Lord for you, for your family, for a friend, even for your car officers if you wish, for other officers among us, for territorial leaders, even for international leaders. We need His presence. And you are free to come here and pray and ask God for this presence. Or move around and pray for someone or with someone who you think or know needs in a special way the presence of the Lord.